Karina did a wonderful job helping us to be mindful of the story that we're looking at this morning. Lazarus is a love story. It's a love story of Jesus' love to Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And I sometimes look like I'm a, you know, just, no, I don't. But I love good love stories. And I am a sucker for love stories. And I want you to know that when I'm watching a love story, that you'll see me tear up. So I just gave away one of my weaknesses. Do not share this on the internet. Whatever, do not do that. But I don't like Hallmark love stories, but I love a good adventure with a courageous hero and a love story. So there's some good ones out there. Well, it's a love story, and I think as we heard this morning, we felt death again this morning. We heard from the testimonies and concerns of people that are experiencing the loss of a loved one. And I just want you to know that I can say this for probably for all of us, that we hate death. We have tremendous anger towards death. We have suffered with many, many emotions of the pain of loss, the wailing. I don't know if you've ever had to wail before. I wailed one time in my life. It was a horrific experience. The uncontrollable crying, the ache in the heart as we're experiencing the loss of that loved one, the uncontrollable cry that we have throughout 4 or 5 days later on, we think about that person and suddenly we're crying because we love that person so dearly. And I want you to know, as a person and a pastor, I've witnessed and officiated many, many deaths in my life. Many. As a pastor, one of the things that I do is I officiate memorial service, and I count it an honor to be able to do this, to be able to stand in front of the family and friends and be able to comfort them with God's word, give them the hope of Jesus Christ. But it still hurts, and it's still awful, and especially when you're close to that person. I remember losing my grandma and grandpa, but the crazy thing is, and I want to say this, is that I didn't know them well. So when I heard that they passed away, it wasn't as emotional for me. But I did see some tragic situations. One of the first things I ever saw was a car that ran into the semi. I was the first one on the scene. Somehow the car jumped the lane, and I was there, and it was horrific. Not long after that, then I saw a semi and a trailer come back off and hit this car and ripped it in half. Three ladies were in there, three young girls coming back from skiing, and two of them were dead. One was still alive, and I was there, the first one in the scene, and I was in the back seat comforting this girl with a broken neck. And all I can think about is those brown eyes and the tears that was coming down from her face. It rocked me. I have experienced the tragic death of one of my dear friends, an elder in a church in Florida, where a student, a member, murdered him. And to live through that and to comfort his daughter and his wife and being a part of that, but also have experienced God working through me in the midst of all that. I have officiated memorial services for children. And that is hard. I have experienced the death of my two wonderful friends, two close friends, about 30 years ago, within 6 months, through different plane accidents. I was at my mom's bed for 2 hours as she passed away, wailing. That's where I felt wailing. I hate death. I was the hospice caregiver for my dad. I thank God he gave me the opportunity to be with him, to take care of him in those last days. Within the last 2 years, two of my closest friends passed away. I can personally say, I hate death. and I'm angry with it. And I think all of us here that we have experienced that type of hatred, that anger of what death has done to your life. In a way, it robbed you of someone that you loved so dearly. The suffering that you have to go through as you experience that loss. And I want you to know that Jesus hates death and is angry with it. And we're going to be looking at it because one of his best friends passed away. Before we go into the story, we need to look back at last week. We really have to understand the enormity of what Jesus Christ went through when he was 40 days in that desert. As you know, it's not a picnic, but sometimes we really don't understand the nuances. Why did Jesus have to go 40 days only drinking water to be tested? Why was that so important at the very beginning of his ministry, before his ministry took off? We have to understand how powerful that is to help us understand the Passion Week. First of all, you remember, Jesus was at the end of yourself. 40 days fasted. This is where a person's flesh is at the strongest. You see, the great thing about being a person made in the image of God is that God has given us this capacity to will itself. We know this. We can sit there and say, God, I don't want to follow you. I don't want to love you. We have that capacity, that strong will within our spirit, a part of our sinful flesh. And for many non-Christians, we can. We can will ourselves to resist temptation. We can will ourselves to change our life. That's a part of the human nature. But this situation was like it, but even more extreme. Jesus had no strength in his will. He was at the end. His flesh was actually, could have easily led his life and make decisions for him because he had no capacity to stop the flesh to do what it wants to do. And when you're hungry for 40 days, you can't stop from eating. You'll do whatever you can to seek food. He lost the capacity to stop his flesh from doing that. And that's why it was so important, because Jesus needed to know that when he was in the midst of his ministry, especially towards the end of his days, he was going to be tempted in every way to abort this mission, to turn back on God's plan for him. And he was at the point, as we heard before, he was filled with the Spirit. The only way that he was able to resist his flesh at these moments of extreme intensity was through the Spirit of God. And that's what Jesus Christ gives us. That's what God gives us. When he was in a position to seek glory for himself, go ahead, let people bow down before, seek the glory that comes from it. We have this capacity, as we know as human beings, to want to be famous, to want people to look at us and say, look at me, look how I shine. We have that. That's a part of our sinful nature. Jesus was at the point that he could have done that, but instead, he resisted it. And I want you to know that every time that Jesus speaks of glory, he always refers it to who? The Father. Every time any type of glory that's ever mentioned, any time that glory that's directed to him, he always redirects us to the Father. Always. But in fact, this is so important in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story of Lazarus. Because one of the greatest things that has ever happened on this earth, Jesus did amazing miracles, but the miracle of raising someone from 4 days of death, that is a crazy, crazy miracle. And he could have easily sat back and say, look at me, I did this. But if you notice in his words, he says, I give glory to the Father. I'm doing all of this. I'm going to Lazarus to give glory to my Father. It's about what God is doing in his life. Jesus had also the temptation of using God's name in vain. Use it in a way that he can take credit himself and be able to manipulate whatever he wanted to do, but instead, in control life, he says, no way, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to follow God's word. I'm going to follow his will, his word, and I'm not going to use it in a way that I can manipulate other people or in a way that benefits me. So that understanding of the 40 days is so important, because you could see what Jesus was going through in his time in ministry, especially that last week. He is going to be tempted in every way. So let's go look at the story. Again, it's a beautiful love story. I love it. There was a certain man. He was very, very sick, and it was Lazarus. And Jesus made this relationship with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Now, you need to know that Jesus had a great relationship with the disciples. And you've seen that throughout Scripture. But here is a story that's unfolded that also puts a phenomenal focus and spotlight on Jesus' love and friendship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Of all the stories that we see in Scripture, as Jesus was wandering the earth, aside from the disciples, this was a very important relationship. You'll hear the word love so many times. A strong love. A beautiful love. And when Jesus heard the story, or heard this news that Mary and Martha sent to them, that Lazarus is very, very, very ill. And Jesus said, yeah, you're right, he is ill. And it's going to lead to his death. He was very clear about what God's plan was. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Mary and Martha. That's what it says here. And Lazarus. Made it very, very clear. And when he heard about it, he stayed 2 days longer because he knew that he had to be a part of God's will. This was God's will, his intent for him to wait. Because God was going to be glorified. People are going to have their eyes open to the reason why Jesus came into the world, and that it's to defeat death. So he gazed, and he gets there, and Lazarus is dead. And Mary and Martha were very, very upset. You could have been here. You could have came here earlier. You could have prevented this. But Jesus said, no, this is God's time. This is God's plan. And when he saw Jesus, when he heard this news, let me go ahead and get to this passage. He went to see Mary and Martha, and when he saw and what was told, the word here is that he was deeply moved by it. He was a part of the experience, but also he wanted to reveal to Mary and Martha that he loved Lazarus so much that when he was there, he was able to witness to them very honestly, with integrity, that he was deeply moved. Now, the English does not do a good job at translating this word. Okay? I just want you to know this is my... What the English, or the Greek means, he was snorting with anger. Snorting with anger. As a bull, snorting with anger. We're going to understand that a little bit. This was an experience that Jesus was revealing to the people around him. He wanted to know that this was serious, and he was angry with what's happening to the loss of his loved one. And we have the shortest verse in Scripture. Jesus wept. To understanding his love for his friends, he was deeply moved. He was snorting with anger. He was into this, and he wept sincere tears. This was not a robotic event for Jesus. Sometimes we think that Jesus was in a robot mode, and he was walking through life, and he was doing the things he could do because, that's what he's supposed to do, the Son of God. But what God is revealing to us, that he was deeply attached emotionally to those friendships that he had. And him weeping was a beautiful sign of that. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? They know all the great miracles that Jesus did. Why didn't he keep this man from dying? Because death is real. Death has been experienced, and death is final. It is absolutely final. Rarely does a person come up again from death, especially after 4 days. 4 days in the grave is final. They saw that there was no way that Jesus was going to be able to do anything. Yes, he was able to heal in so many different ways, but now he can't. This is beyond that. How do you raise a person 4 days and stinking in a grave? They thought it was a complete loss. They thought it was totally gone. It was done. It was over. And let's go to the text. Right after that, Jesus said, deeply moved again. He was snorting with anger. I know this sounds, he was angry because it came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, don't you understand? He's dead. He's dead and he has an odor to it. Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. This is final. This is a nail in the coffin. Nothing happens after 4 days of death. And Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? God revealed, God shining, God in a beautiful way revealing to us his amazing purpose and his goodness and his love, which Christ came into the world for doing that. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Always speaking to the Father. Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you have sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. Again, understanding this Greek word that was deeply moved, snorting with anger. I mean, this is the Greek, to have indignation on. He was angry at it. Now, you're going, hold it. I'm having a hard time kind of putting this together. How many times in your life when you've been around a situation and suddenly some injustice happens to a situation? I remember the first time I was sort of, again, snorting with anger. The first time when I was very young, I saw these people was making fun of this one person. And I remember seeing them for the very first doing that, and I remember just anger. How could you? I was just filled with anger. I was snorting with anger because how could these people pick on this very small, weak person? And there's that feeling that you get when something is unjust, when something is wrong. And Jesus came to defeat death. Remember, Jesus came to defeat death. He felt the pain. He loved Mary and Martha and felt their pain too. This helps us to understand John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, should not perish. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him, that people should not perish. This is a lie that's been spread around through Christendom for a while, especially with non-believers, that God is sending people to hell. That's a lie. God is trying to rescue people from going to hell. Our sinful nature, Jesus made it very clear to Adam and Eve, our sinful nature pushes us away from God, and unless it's stopped, unless it's turned around, the end result is hell, and death is the final nail in the coffin. You can't do anything about that after death. So Jesus basically was coming, showing that he was going to be the victor over death, that God came in the world to defeat death, that God loves his people so much that he was deeply angered about what death had done, and he came here to defeat death. So this is the theme this morning. We need to allow God's Spirit to develop an anger of hatred for death. Well, come on, Pastor Peter. What? Develop a hatred and anger for death? Yes, I believe so. First of all, we need to allow God's Spirit, okay? We have been given the second greatest gift that you'll ever receive in your life. The first gift was salvation. The second gift is the baptism, the filling, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It was very clear when Jesus came into the desert, he was filled with the Spirit. It is very important for us to know that the Holy Spirit is in us and with us, and there is great reason for this. Because we can have a phenomenal perspective of God's kingdom and his will for us. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the very end of the world. You will have this power to be able to be witness, to glorify God to all these people, to shine God and the life and the new life that's in you. You are going to be a witness, and I'm going to empower you to do this. But also, he said, I do these things, I give you the Holy Spirit, because you will know that I will be with you everywhere you are. And every day I'm with you, and every day I'm teaching you, every day I'm opening your eyes to me. So the Holy Spirit is already working in our lives. The Holy Spirit is active in our lives. The Holy Spirit is transforming our lives, renewing our minds. That's a part of God's work. So God is doing, he's preparing us and helping us to see reality, helping to see his kingdom, and being able to see the enormity of God's, Jesus' mission, as well as having a deep hatred for death. Why is that so important? Because we have loved ones around us. We have family members and friends who don't know Jesus Christ. And if we don't have a hatred for death, then we don't understand the enormity, the importance of shining God and Jesus Christ to their lives. Because, again, death is final. No more. And God brings us and fills us with the Holy Spirit into people's lives. This is his economy. He allows us to be a part of this world. He connects us with people. He moves us to people. He helps us to be in people's lives. He provides relationships and opportunities to connect with people. And those are opportunities, especially for non-Christians, to shine God's glory. And to realize that God is using me to bring Jesus Christ into their lives. But if I don't take that seriously enough, then I don't see the opportunities as opportunities. We need to hate death so badly that we can be moved and led by the Holy Spirit to come to that person with this in mind. How can I love this person? How can I connect with this person? This new person that I just saw today, this new person, my employee, the person who I work with is, who does not like me, or I don't like them, what can I do to reconcile it? Because that person's life is so important. That person is so important that am I willing to be led by God's Spirit to what? To bring the good news in that person's life. If we don't have a reality check about death and how terrible it is, and I can personally say that I have two very close relatives in my life. I fear for them. I pray. I ask God's opportunity, what can I do just to love them with Jesus Christ? Because I know that there'll be a time where that stops. I won't have that opportunity. And I want to be whatever I can to be the very vessel that God wants to use to bring his love and his goodness. That's the great thing. We have a mission. We have purpose because of God and his Holy Spirit helping us to connect with other people, to love them, to reconcile with them, to bring God's word into their lives. Jesus hates death. He is angry with death. And he did something about it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you. We heard this beautiful love story. Oh my goodness. The love that Jesus had for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Father, help us to know that Jesus has that same love for us. That's how we became his brother in Christ. That's how we became a part of your family. Because of that love, because of the cross, because he hated death, he knew what it would do between him and his Father. So I pray that we'll have that same type of hatred, that anger towards death in a way that brings us into action to love others, to truly understand the significance of that person's life. And I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.